But yeah, so Eastern Rim was really cool. One thing I did not expect on my bucket list for 2023 was to be standing in the parking lot of a high school, and all of a sudden a truck pulls up with Michael Winslow rolling down the window making sounds at me as though he's a robot.
That's not expecting that, but he wanted to tell me bye when he went to leave, so we had the truck pull up next to me and everything, which is
that's
really cool. He's a super nice guy, man. He, I was at the airport. I helped Jerry with his guest arriving. So I was at the airport waiting for him. And he sent this picture of me to, like, everybody coming in from fucking 4 years ago. And I remember telling Jay Lee. Jay Lee comes down the escalator. He's looking at his phone. He's looking. He's, like, looking for me. And so he sees me. He goes, wait, let me see. And I said, look, for whatever reason, Jacob decided to send a picture to people where it looks like I'm that guy, and that guy had a drug addiction for a while and made a bunch of bad decisions and then cleaned up. And now here I am today to help you out, sir.
That's hilarious.
And like when Michael Winslow showed up, and for those that don't know, Michael Winslow is the man of 10,000 sounds. He, most famous for his Police Academy movies and
Spaceballs,
Gremlins, and the one that I kept bringing up all weekend was Nice Dreams with Cheech and Chong. And also he was in Cheech and Chong's next movie. But he, I'm sitting there talking to Jared Gerard, just chilling, and all of a sudden I look, and Michael Winslow is just standing there, because he had my picture. He's just standing there, he's like, hey, I'm here. Hey, holy shit, what's up, dude? I'm supposed to be looking for you, and that's supposed to sneak up on me like that.
That's awesome, dude.
It was pretty awesome, man. He was a really, really nice guy. He had a good show. He had fun. But yeah, he's cool as hell, man. And, you know, he had nothing from Nice Dreams at all. So I go home that Saturday night, and I'm like, I got to get something for him to sign. And there's my Nice Dreams sealed VHS. I'm like, do I want to break this seal, or do I want to leave it as it is? So I was like, fuck it. I went and I screen grabbed the scene where he's doing the Jimi Hendrix impersonation with the two little people in front of him dressed up like karate guys. And I got an 8x10 made real quick, ran to Walgreens at like 9 o'clock at night, picked up my 8x10. And what was cool is I was able to get him to quote it, excuse me while I kiss this fly. Because I told him, I said, since seeing that scene as a child, every time Purple Haze comes on, I replace the line with, excuse me while I eat this fly. And he grabbed, oh no! And then he eats the fly. It was awesome.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's badass.
So, yeah, Eastern Rim was a lot of fun. We haven't been together. I mean,
it's been a couple of weeks.
The film festival was pretty wild as well.
That's why we're chatting about stuff, because we've actually hung out quite a bit in the last couple of weeks.
We just haven't been on the air.
But anyway, dude, it is August 28th. It's been two episodes away, or it's been 2 weeks since we had a new episode. It is episode number 185 of Scary Dad Podcast, and we'll call this one Catching Up and Back to Scary. Got a couple of things that we need to discuss because, you know, spooky season's on the way. So
yes, it is. We're coming up real quick.
But yeah, before we even get into any of the old business or whatever, you know, meat of the show, but the heat wave continues, and it's been crazy hot. So
we did get a little bit of rain yesterday from this tropical storm.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Didn't come anywhere near us. But
you know, it's been... Things have just been trucking. Kids started school again, you know, work's ramping up because it's that season of, you know, selling stuff in for the next year and everything. So it's just been just crazy busy. But the off-season conventions have been a blast.
Oh, yeah.
The film festival, I didn't get a chance to go to Eastern Rim, but I saw a lot of pictures and looked like people were having a great time. So,
it was a really, really good show. Some great, talented artists were there. Jay Lee was there, of course, which was awesome to meet. Mike Gillis, which he was really, really cool to hang out with for a little while. Super nice guy. Had some great stories. He's worked with so many people. It was a fun event. He definitely, Jacob's doing an outstanding job with his thing, growing every year. It was a lot of fun.
Sweet. But anyway, yeah, let's just get it. Let's get it in. So, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. So, you know, I'm just kind of jumping around the timeline here. You know, pretending like a time traveler. trying to choose years in which I was alive. So, if I can remember when these things were happening, what kind of impact they might have had, or whatever. But, I have to accept the fact that there was a couple of years in the early days where I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Mm-hmm. But this month, I went ahead and chose, since we're kind of going back to the beginning, we're going to start saying, let's, you know, get back to scary, because we've been having a whole bunch of sad and current.
It's been a weird year.
It's been a weird, downs, yeah. Man. It's been, but current events have just pretty much dominated it, so we haven't even talked about Chopping Mall or anything in a while, right?
Right.
So, all right. But, I was... In 1980, I would have been four for most of it. But yeah, August 28th, 1980, we had... we celebrated your birthday between then and this episode.
Yes.
So happy birthday.
Thank you. I forgot about it a little bit.
You know.
Don't look a day over 49.
That's it.
So, somebody asked me what my secret was to not looking 50, and I was like... Drugs are a pickling agent, and just over the years, I've been able to remove a few years to where I am now.
Or you just be like, well, I've only been 50 for a couple weeks, so fuck off. I'm doing my best. All right. It was not a really great year for music on the radio. If you didn't have a tape deck or a record player, you are going to have to listen to... These are counted down from 10. This is the Casey Kasem. What is it? More Love by Kim Carnes. Coming in at number 10. Number 9. Let Love Open the Door by Pete Townsend. Give Me the Night by George Benson. Tearing up the charts.
I remember that song.
I'm All Out of Love by Air Supply. I mean, this just sounds like a dentist's office wet dream. Like, it's horrid. But then we get to the Fame song by Irene Cara. You know?
Fame!
She didn't live forever. She had one hit. She was only famous for a minute. Let's see here. Take Your Time by the SOS Band. Some of these I've never heard, but I'm just like, what? Emotional Rescue by the Rolling Stones. Again, one of those ones.
I know the band.
Magic by Olivia Newton-John.
Seriously?
Upside Down by Diana Ross, which is a little poppy, but it's still, again, a dentist's office wet dream.
Yes.
It's the songs you hear, literally, whenever your grandma and your mom are shopping at Foley's, and you're hanging around in that big triangle mirror thing, like looking at, trying to see if you can see into past lives because you're so bored in this one. And then the number one song on the radio on this date in 1980 was Sailing by Christopher Cross. We'll let you get back to your...
It's fucking terrible. What I'd love to see is who were the up-and-coming bands at that time that mm-hmm. were just starting out, like Robert Smith and The Cure, shit like that.
Well,
that would be interesting to see
who the Cure had like, records in 1980.
Who were like starting Ministry. They were just coming up. They had their record a couple years later. Their finally mainstream hit. But just what bands were like... About to shape the music scene and rock things.
Oh yeah,
a little bit.
Well, I think Motley Crue was working. Like Motley Crue hit in like 81.
That was a rough music year. Damn,
you know, dude, this is summertime too. But one interesting fact, because we've just been dying here from the heat, and people are like, oh, you know, it's global warming and it's unprecedented and all those things, and that is very possibly true. But you know what we didn't have this year? In summer of 1980, the United States experienced a heat wave that claimed over 1,700 lives. Heat stroke.
Right.
Just being old and not being able to take it, whatever. Fewer people had air conditioning back then.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But, I mean, they've been, I think, you know, I'm sure there's been some casualties, obviously.
Yeah,
from some of the heat.
Yeah, like.
But 1,700, that's
a lot.
That's a lot. So, I mean, however bad it is, it could always be worse. So. All right. This is going to come from top down, but number one, the movies that you could have gone and seen, because the music was no good. You need to go do something else. Let's see. You got Smokey and the Bandit 2. That was a continuation of part one, almost like...
Jumping the shark immediately.
Yeah.
They jumped the shark so fast with that fucking series, it was ridiculous. They were transporting an elephant, Dom DeLuise playing a fucking some doctor that had to be a veterinarian. It was just a terrible, terrible movie.
To be fair, Smokey and the Bandit 1 was not like Michelangelo.
But still,
it was.
Yes, Sheriff Buford T. Justice, who got all his cousins that lived all over the world. There was a Buford T. Justice from Canada. There was one from South America. It was just they jumped the shark so fucking.
I'm just saying the shark was in the water in the first one. The first one is classic and it's great, but you know it's like these dudes just trying to smuggle some beer on a lark, like on a bet. We're gonna smuggle some beer. And at an intersection, a runaway bride hops in your car. I mean, what are the odds, really?
You know, as a kid, I fucking loved that movie, but I had no idea what was going on. I mean, why would it be? As a kid, you would think, why the fuck can't you just go pick up beer in another state and drive it over here? Oh, taxation. Oh, I understand. Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh, I understand now. But yeah, just that movie is just... I didn't know what bootlegging was at that time. But the movie was fucking awesome because they had fast cars and wrecks and all kind of other crazy
shit. Oh, it was great.
Give me a Diablo sandwich and Dr. Pepper, make it in a hurry.
Yep. The
Bank robbery!
The Norm MacDonald, Burt Reynolds, is so spot on.
Dude, it is amazing.
That, like... He even puts on the girdle. Like, he even has that little, like whatever the girdle thing that Burt Reynolds wore, and you right. can see it under his shirt. Even Norm MacDonald had that on. It's like...
Well, I know you were also a My Name is Earl fan, and do you remember the episodes where you had Chubby, but Chubby Jr. was Norm MacDonald doing his Burt Reynolds impersonation. It was fucking amazing.
Dude... It sucks that people have to die to, like, really be appreciated sometimes. I always thought Norm MacDonald was, because of his dry humor, I always thought he was freaking hilarious.
You had to get it.
You had to think, you know, but since he passed away and you've been sending me those videos, and I've seen them all, but I just see them in a different light.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my God, the guy was so, so good. And, like, I sent you that one the other day where he's talking with, Harlan.
About the cardiologist?
Yeah, he's like, you're the cardiologist. And he comes back and he's like, you're so fat. And I'm like, how fat am I? He's like, if you don't start lifting weights and eating right, you're going to die.
And he starts laughing.
He's like, I thought you were going to, that was a joke. He's like, why would you tell a joke?
Not a cardiologist tell a joke. He's not a comedian. He's a doctor.
But just the way he was so hilarious.
Just make you feel like a fucking idiot. I mean, Norm MacDonald was fucking awesome.
It's so good. I think he would find it hilarious that we started off talking about Smokey and the Bandit 2 and then ended up in a little half tribute to Norm MacDonald.
Let's take a rabbit hole down into Norm MacDonald's career. He was what, probably 12 when that movie came out?
Alright, so number 2 at the box office this day is Xanadu.
Jesus!
That's why Olivia Newton-John's number 2 on the song charts, too.
Oh, my God.
Like, that was a good year for her. She was banking. Number 3, we finally get into the good shit. The Octagon. Chuck Norris and a bunch of ninjas. That's all that matters. This one was good. Remember the Final Countdown?
Yes.
With the aircraft carrier?
Yeah.
Like, can we defeat the entire Japanese Navy with a single modern aircraft carrier? The world may never know. Number five was one called The Hunter. There's not a whole lot of context. Just The Hunter. And then number six, little Jamie Lee Curtis joint called Prom Night.
Yes. Familiar with that one.
Mm-hmm.
JLC, as they say.
So, you know, not to go non sequitur, but y'all had a cast reunion. Where was she?
She's a little bit above our pay grade. We need a much bigger boat if we were to bring in Jamie Lee Curtis.
I'm just saying. Now you've got command of all these people that have most of the cast signed on their book on their stuff.
You guys try to hook it up now.
You can get JLC for like $300. Come on in, guys.
And the thing about it is, I was trying to explain to somebody about this the other day, because they were like, you know, why don't you try to get John Carpenter? Why don't you do this? And I told them, I said, it's not a matter of, you know, these people have ridiculous guarantees. And they would make their guarantee. We just can't fit enough fucking people in that one building for them to be able to make their guarantee. Mm-hmm. We have to be in a much bigger
building. There's a lot of logistics.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, because you got to realize, like, a certain percentage of your attendees are going to buy an autograph, so you have to have this many people show up to be able to cover a guarantee.
To get that percentage,
yeah. Yeah, one day.
Oh, dude. No, I'm not complaining. That was more of a joke crack.
Yeah.
Then I was like, man, she would probably be as much as everybody in the room as far as getting her here.
Yeah.
Like, the guarantee for her to take time out of her day.
But, I mean, her, John Carver, they would fucking kill her.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, quick wrap up on the old business. If you were watching TV, which can... I would have gone and seen The Octagon. The Octagon was good. I would have liked to see that in the original theater, you know, when it came out, mm-hmm. even though I was four. But if you had nothing else to do on this hot ass day in 1980, you could have stayed home. You could have watched Dukes of Hazzard, Facts of Life, WKRP in Cincinnati, Taxi, Hulk, The Incredible Hulk with Bill Bixby, Chips, and The Jeffersons. So, you know, it's good for TV. I mean, there's a lot of classic stuff in there. Not so much of the movies, and you certainly want to stay away from the radio.
You know, just a little quick shout out. You know, RetroCon is coming up. NerdCon is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's James Chisholm that does that. And he's got Mark Price coming. Mark Price, of course, was Skippy from Family Ties. But he also starred in Trick or Treat. Not Trick or Treat, but the original Trick or Treat with the Rock.
Heavy metal.
Yeah, he's going to be coming to fucking Mount Bellevue here in a few weeks.
Who did he play in Trick or Treat?
I can't remember. His character got killed, of course, but I can't remember his character's name. But those are the two things that he's best known for. But yeah, other than game shows and stuff like that, Mark Price was in all kinds of shit. But yeah, he's going to be coming down here pretty soon. So.
And they need to do a real... I don't know if they ever will be able to because of the licensing with the band, but they need to do a re-release on Trick or Treat. Like, give it the treatment.
I thought that Shout TV might have done that already. Or Screen Factory.
From what I know, in order for them to... I mean, they can... Like, I think within their original agreements, they're allowed to do certain things, but they're not allowed to do, like, a full-on treatment because they're still... Fastway sued them, like the band that has all the music, like that's contested, because for royalties and stuff, so I know that there has been some re-releases.
There's been some re-releases, I know for sure. For some reason, every time I search this up, and everything's Trick or Treat.
Yeah,
because that's of course the big one.
Well, I was lucky; I found the soundtrack on CD. At a thrift store or whatever.
Oh, wow, dude.
Because I'd been looking for that for a long time. And, like, on eBay, it was like $20-$30 for an old CD. And I was like, you know, they're okay. But it's not, you know, for me, it was just more the horror collector thing. And if I'm going to spend that, I might as well spend, you know, go... it's a different collector's world from, you know, if you want an artifact versus just wanting to listen to the tunes.
They're actually, this year, they're actually coming out with a 4K treatment.
Okay. So maybe they settled it.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while.
This article came from April 2023.
That movie scared the shit out of me when I was
directed
a kid.
By Charles Martin Smith and starring Mark Price, Tony Fields, Gene Simmons, and Ozzy Osbourne. So yeah, they're doing a 4K treatment of it this year.
Well, that, because I've always had a partial, because it's not real. I've seen it since, and it's really not that scary. But for me, it was more the undertones, like what it meant, because like
it's a pretty big dollar VHS too.
Like all of the, the music was pretty good. It was current. It was hair metal. You know, it was right. Like, but it was also just kind of dark, and I don't know, just that whole satanic panic. And I was at an age where I was like, okay, all of this cool stuff is cool, and I'm like, whoa. Like, they're opening up portals to hell. That was around the same time as that kid in the gate. Remember when he got possessed and he was, like, biting him for real in the gate? But he had, the album that went around backwards and, like, summoned the demons and all that stuff. And you're like, they were talking big shit about that, right, when that movie came out. Right. I remember seeing it, spending the night at a friend's house and being like, fuck.
Good old Stephen Dorff.
You know, like, wow, you know, like this is not good, you know. So, not the gate, Trick or Treat. I mean, the gate was scary too, but the whole heavy metal
connection to
But that is it for the old business. Let's take a break and come back with the new.
Who's the big guy with the muscles?
He's He-Man, the most powerful man in the universe. Skeletor is his enemy.
He-Man. If He-Man, Skeletor, and Castle Grayskull, you have to put the castle together.
You're doomed, He-Man.
Oh, yeah? Watch this action, Dad. Now I have the power.
He-Man and Skeletor each sold separately. Castle Grayskull also sold separately from the Masters of the Universe collection from Mattel.
Alrighty, so here we go, and we'll jump right into it, if you would, Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
So I don't have a whole lot of new business, because it's been so long since we got together. Some of the new business I had isn't new business anymore, and this week actually hasn't been overly eventful, other than California got hit by a tropical storm for the first time in 80-plus years, and in the middle of the tropical storm, they got hit by an earthquake, which was fucking insane. And, of course, the Maui fires, which...
The Maui fires.
Have conspiracy theories going crazy right now.
I haven't read conspiracies. What I've read is a whole bunch of... And there's like, it's like, there's 800 people missing. Like, unaccounted for. Doesn't, like, missing. And they... But the fires came through so hot and so fast, like a firebomb, like Dresden, that it melted cars into asphalt. Like, that's how hot the fires were.
Right.
And so, anybody that was in there is ash.
Right.
At best. Like, atomized, possibly. They're not going to just, like, start pulling bodies out of the water.
Well, the conspiracy theories are fucking going nuts. Because what I do is, to get my daily dose of just insanity, is I jump on X, formerly known as Twitter, once a day. And the one this morning that I was getting into that apparently is huge now is there are people explaining how space lasers were able to specifically target certain things that were burned. And one of the things, there's some video that they keep playing where there's like a laser and there's these different colored cloths, and this laser is programmed not to burn anything blue. So as the laser's passing through, it like burns the red, the yellow, the blue doesn't get burned, it burns everything else. And with that is juxtaposed photos from the fires where like a blue trash can is unharmed or a blue car is unharmed, saying that these fires were actually lasers the whole way going through. There's all kind of crazy shit out there right now, which I find interesting. But those, of course, are the biggest stories right now from this week. But a couple of other things that I was able to dig up. Remember the Fire Festival?
Mm-hmm.
That big catastrophe that, like...
Where they fed people, like, bread sandwiches?
Became a meme, bologna sandwiches. The luxury suites that they sold were actually FEMA relief trailers or some shit like that. Well, the guy that had founded Fire Festival, Billy McFarland, actually served jail behind this shit. He went to jail for fraud because of the 2017 Fire Festival was recently released. And upon being released... went and announced, hey, I decided I'm going to go ahead and do a new venture, get ready for Fyre Festival 2. I'm not bullshitting you. And he immediately went ahead and threw up 100 pre-sale tickets for like $500 a piece, and it immediately sold out. So people are fucking idiots.
Yeah, absolutely.
So apparently this guy is planning Fyre Festival 2, and what's funny is these people sold out these tickets, the first batch of tickets that he released. Totally like went like that. There's no information. There's not even a location. It literally says targeted for the end of 2024 in the Caribbean. No location, no specific dates, no lineup, nothing. And apparently, you know, he did give some details as far as the other ticket tiers that are coming up. And we'll be looking at tickets that cost anywhere between $799 to $7,999 a piece. And this guy is going to go ahead and defraud a whole bunch of people again.
But he'll do it from a non-extradition.
It is fucking insane, dude.
There's certain things that just, I don't know, like, you get to a certain age and you start thinking about the length of life. You know, like, you can think about 100 years, but most people don't live 100 years. But in 100 years, like, okay, so I'm not conscious for about 5 of them, and then I'm a kid for another like 10 of them, and then I'm a semi-adult, and then I'm an adult, and then I'm working, and I'm trying, and I'm building, and I'm going. And along the way, you're trying to make friends, and relationships, and connections, and try to have a little bit, and you're like, hey, maybe if I tell a joke, people will laugh. And you tell a joke, and they're like, nope, you gotta work on that joke harder. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm gonna write a book. And some people hit it with the lottery, and other people... And then you got people, like, you think, like this guy, that are just like, well, I'm going to fuck up real bad, and then I'm just going to do it again, and everybody's going to support it. Like, I don't understand it. Like, in my life, I think, like, if I'm mean to somebody, then they won't be friends with me anymore, and then I won't have one fewer friend, right? One less. If I get fired from a job, if I don't do my job right, if I piss off my boss, I'll get fired. It'll be one less, so I better be nice. There's people who just be like, hey, boss, fuck you, and then they get promoted and firing the boss, and you're just like, how is that a thing? Like, who are these people? Like, Seinfeld-wise, like, who are these people that can just, like, wake up one day and be like, I'm building an email list,
yeah,
and then tomorrow I'm a millionaire, and then the next day I'm in jail, and then the next day I'm a millionaire again. And you're like, what do you actually do? And they're like, I build websites. I promote. I'm like, what the? You promote? Like, what the hell? Okay.
But he's coming back. What's funny is, you know, the original one, all the investors got sued, including rapper Ja Rule and some other celebrities that were involved with promoting the event. They got sued for like $26 million in restitution. And this dude did 4 years in jail. And according to him, during a seven-month stint in solitary confinement, he wrote out a 50-page plan on how he would do it different this time around.
Actually book the bands? Actually book the facility?
It's just insane that this guy is actually doing what he did the first time. It's fucking ridiculous.
It's going to be, it's going to be interesting.
Alrighty. Another interesting little story. Okay, so wait, this is what I'll jump on this one. Did you see the video of the track race, the women's track race from the World University Games in China that came out recently?
Mm-mm.
It was fucking incredible. So in this particular heat, they show all the contestants getting up, and you know, there's all these, they're athletes, obviously track athletes, and then you get to lane two, and there's the track athlete from Somalia. Not to disparage her, but she does not fit the prototype of what you'd expect for a female track star. She's a little bit overweight and everything. This video went viral so quick because the gun goes off. She finished. These are the best of the best. These are the world collegiate, you know, championships and shit. She finished 10 seconds behind first place.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody took off. She's just kind of jogging on down. And The sports minister apparently got in a shitload of trouble for Somalia because basically he like his cousin wanted to go race and he was like, okay, I'll hook you up with a trip to China. And she finished, like I said, 10. It was funny because like everybody's finished and we're still, count to 10. You know, 10 seconds behind the leader, it's like a tight pack. And then there's her skipping along in the back. And when she crossed the finish line, she did this like little hop. Like, hey, I did it!
So she ran an Olympic race. It's for her bucket list.
Yeah!
I thought you were referencing, because there was another one not too long ago. There was some Olympics, not Olympics, but it was some one of those... was it multi-talent expos or whatever? Uh-huh. Like, and it was an international one. And they had a runner went down. Runner got sick. And they didn't have a runner to put in the place. And if they didn't run, they would get disqualified. So they pulled a shot putter. And like, or she volunteered. It was just women's track. Right. And they're like, hey, we need somebody from somewhere to run. She's like, okay, I'll do it. And same thing, almost exactly. But she ran full out. She did the best she could, but it was not her sport. So they blasted, and she ran, and you know she came in a solid dead last.
Right.
But she kept her team in, and she, you know,
what? Right.
She took one for the teams in real speak, you know. So that's why I was, because it was just like, oh, that was heartening. Well, this is disheartening.
Okay, so this was an interesting story I ran across today. This, for the first time ever, this technology has been able to be used, but there's this paralyzed woman, 47-year-old Anne, been paralyzed since suffering a brainstem stroke more than 18 years ago. Okay, fully paralyzed, can't move, can't speak, you know, nothing. She's conscious, but she's been able to communicate using movement tracking technology that allows her to like select letters up to, you know, a certain amount and everything. Well, they were able to implant 253 electrodes to the surface of her brain covering her mind, and they were able to develop an avatar where it can read her brain functions, and she can actually speak to people through this avatar.
Oh, wow.
It's wild shit, dude. It's a pretty cool story. The technology hasn't been perfected yet. It hasn't like decoded the words perfectly, but it has like a 28%
error rate
right now, which is pretty impressive. Just imagine, you know, someone that would normally be considered a vegetable mm-hmm. could actually still communicate with you and talk. It's pretty crazy technology, man.
That sounds.
I mean, it's like fucking. Steve Martin, the man with two brains, you know, being able to hook up to those electrodes in that brain, you can actually have an avatar that could actually speak to you and you can communicate back and forth with. It's pretty wild, dude.
That is.
Yeah, that was a very, very interesting story. Did you know prosciutto can be very dangerous?
You talking about the meat?
Yeah. Prosciutto ham. Alice Cohen was in a store called Italy in Boston. It's an Italian food emporium. So imagine, like, you know, Whole Foods for just Italian-based foods. And, of course, they have, like, sample areas everywhere. Well, Alice, I can imagine what Alice looks like. There's no picture of her, but I'm picturing Alice in my mind right now. She was heading over to where the food samples are distributed on October 7th, and she slipped on a piece of prosciutto that it was left on the floor and fell and fucked her ankle up, apparently, and is now suing for $50,000 in damages.
You slip on a piece of meat?
What kind of shit is that, dude? Now, she has $7,500 in medical bills for the injuries to her ankle that the prosciutto caused. She's suing for $50,000 for bodily injuries, loss of enjoyment of life, pain and suffering, and necessary medical expenses for medical care and
attention.
That's
a lawyer right
there. She sprained her fucking ankle on a piece of ham.
That's a lawyer. That's all it is.
On a piece of really salty ham. And, yeah, so now she's suing the shit out of Italy. I love that name.
Italy?
Italy. Yeah, I just thought that was just the dumbest story in the world.
Did you see that article that I sent you? It's much less funny than the one that we're talking about now. Did you see the one I was like, hey, for new business the other day?
No, I didn't. Wait, I'm trying to remember. I would have saved it.
Dude, let's talk about crazy shit. So there's this woman who got sent to prison. Went to jail, went to prison for, like, abusing her. She's a mother of 15. Like, the title of the article is, like, so long that it's hard to decipher from the actual headline. Hold on one second.
Okay, so I found this article that you were inquiring about, and this headline is pretty nuts. Mom who faked death after boiling puppies in front of her kids found an odd hiding spot. This story just goes all over the place.
It keeps going and going and going.
So, you know, this recently happened like a day or two ago, but apparently this woman faked her own death a long time ago. She's a New Mexico mother of 15 kids. Why? She originally faked her own death after pleading guilty to child and animal abuse allegations, including the boiling of the puppies, in Colorado. Back in the day, and she currently lived in So,
it's hard to understand.
It's a very convoluted story.
It's extremely complex.
So, 58-year-old Martha Crouch was arrested in Walsenburg, Colorado, just last week by sheriff's deputies. Officials were responding to a trailer home in Walsenburg. As reports of a man suffering a medical emergency and discovered 62-year-old Timothy Crouch was already dead on his front lawn after he collapsed with a heart attack. Coroner attempted to enter the trailer to conduct an investigation. However, she was denied access and told by residents Tim Crouch had extensive health issues and died outside, not inside the home, according to the sheriff's office, so they wouldn't let him in. Following day, authorities were asked to conduct a welfare check because they're like, something's weird going on over here. You know, there's apparently juveniles in this house, and there was a dead guy in the front yard. Let's figure out what the hell's going on. There were also several special needs adults reportedly living in the trailer. This is just insane, dude. As deputies did the welfare check, they discovered Timothy Crouch was married to Martha Crouch. Martha had an outstanding felony warrant for arrest in New Mexico because she violated her probation on child abuse charges and then disappeared, where she went to Colorado and faked her own death. Yeah, that was in 2019 that happened. So fucking four years later.
Easy to lay low during COVID.
During that time in 2019, she was accused by some of her children of beating them with kitchen utensils, chaining one child to a bed, beating a pregnant 14-year-old daughter so severely she miscarried, and she shot one of the kids' dogs as a punishment. And she was also accused of doing what she did with the puppies. So officials that returned to the Colorado trailer Thursday, armed with a search warrant, were met with one of the adult children, Catherine Crouch, who initially denied them entry. Since she was told her mother died years ago and that one of her siblings had been missing for about 3 years. Started searching the home, didn't find any children or Martha. They did discover a pair of dentures in the old bathroom that were prescribed to Martha, which wouldn't make any sense because she's been dead for 4 years, and also an oxygen tank. So they got suspicious of these clues and then got a tip that the home had false walls. They ultimately discovered a false room between the trailer's kitchen and bathroom where they found Martha and a 14-year-old girl hidden. 14-year-old had not been seen or heard from in the past 3 fucking years, dude. Mom was arrested on an outstanding warrant for violating her probation and will reportedly face new child abuse charges. The 14-year-old was placed in the care of the Department of Social Services. It's a crazy fucking story.
That's like The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah.
Friday the 13th, part 5. Camp people, like, weird.
This woman faked her death for 4 years. She's walking around with an oxygen tank. And, like, what the fuck was going on here?
It's just weird white trash living in the sticks in a trailer park. Like how often are you going to go walk up and down a trailer park and be like, hi, did you fake your own death in the last 3 or 4 years? Like, nobody, you know, it's just people kind of just keep to themselves. Like, got a tip that the trailer has false walls. Like, I would love to have false walls. How can I get somebody to build me a false wall, but, like, they've got false walls?
It should be a selling point on any house. By the way, we've got false walls.
We got false walls. See that bookshelf? That's actually a door. None of those books are real.
See that?
It's just a giant steel door.
See that bust of Bruce Wayne? You just go ahead and tilt it. The door.
Tilt it.
Everything opens up. Or
reach into the aquarium. Wasn't that Batman? That was Batman Begins. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Turned it into the aquarium.
But yeah, that's a crazy ass story, dude. That's kind of nuts.
Well, that's the sort of hard hitting news we bring to you here at the Scary Dad Podcast.
Fucking people, man! I swear.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
To the revolution! To the revolution!
To the revolution!
To the revolution!
To the revolution!
Our lead feature for May... Summer Camp Nightmare. What started as a summer of fun...
Oh, come on, anybody can cross that thing.
Oh, yeah?
...became a nightmarish game.
I'll do it if you'll do it.
In this camp, kids won't just be kids. They'll be killers.
Some of us have been talking and we've decided to take over the camp. From now on, you do exactly as I say. Do you understand?
Here's the latest decree of the Supreme Revolutionary Committee.
Controlled by the deadliest one of them all, a maniacal leader.
Yes, sir, General Riley.
His punishment is to cross the rope bridge.
No way, Franklin. I'm not going to do it.
Oh, yes, you are. Get him out there, Runk.
Come on.
Hand over hand, Donald.
I'm gonna fall. Please, Ron, I'm gonna fall.
Okay, then it's party time at Camp North Pines tonight.
A leader who gave them what they thought they wanted.
One who live, one who live. Don't like friends, she don't like boys, she don't like junkies, she don't like drunkies. She just wants my people on it.
Jim, on, we're having a real live revolution with guns and knives and boys and girls sleeping together and everything. It's the best camp ever. Love, Peter.
It's a camp where no one is in control.
Ow, you're hurting me. You.
Embassy is promoting Summer Camp Nightmare with a full-size poster and a big advertising push with ads in major trade and consumer magazines, Video Business, Video Store, Video Insider, and Video Software Dealer, plus Video Review, coming attractions, and preview. So get ready for a summer of action with Summer Camp Nightmare. Street date, May 13th.
All right, so I just showed you the Walkman.
Yes.
The Walkman of yore that we're either going to get it fixed or, clone its parts. Yeah. That might be a way to make some money. Like, start doing aluminum casts of the old plastic parts.
Yeah.
You know? you want to fix an old Walkman?
People just have all over that, man. Definitely.
All right, so I think... the best thing we need to do is start at the beginning and then go into the future right? Yeah. So when we started the show, God, going on like 6-7 years ago now.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. We did it with the aim of eventually starting the vendor shows and the conventions and those sorts of things. And all of those things have come to fruition, which is incredible. We didn't even really talk much about the Houston Horror Film Fest, but when we spoke many years ago about the potential, the possibility of ever rivaling Frightmare up in Dallas, it was like, that's crazy.
Right.
Like, there's no way. And when I say we, I'm talking about Houston. I'm not talking about me and Scott, even though Scott is still, like, Scott's one of the number one guys over there. When I say we, I mean Houston, and just kind of what we wanted to do with the podcast was to bring Frightmare to Houston. And the Houston Horror Film Festival is what
has blown up
and shown that there really is a true market for Houston horror. Houston does have a tendency to be a little bit fair weather, so it's been difficult for others to get that going, but I think this one finally landed, and it's can only go higher.
Right.
You know? But we also just talking about books and movies and things that we liked and stuff, and the new business and the old business segments came because we would always come up and be like, oh man, was watching The Thing last night and noticed something weird about the dog. And it's like, but yeah, but did you see that like 1,000 people died on a boat? And you're like, oh, so let's make some time for those sorts of things. And then after 185 episodes, it really sometimes gets just hard to figure out, like, what do we want to talk about now? What's interesting? And it's not even interesting to audience, but just interesting to us.
To us, yeah.
I mean, how much more can we talk about this one thing, and then we do another two episodes like back to back because it's just we realize, oh, we haven't talked about it in a while and it's still awesome. So I wanted to just talk about what my experience the other day at the Houston Horror Film Festival. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are not local, you need to get that way. Like, you need to come here. We had
come
people
down.
Like and when I say we versus they, I was volunteer at the show, so I was there the whole time, saw all of the people walking around happy, got to answer a bunch of questions, got to but also from an outsider, like I'm not an investor anymore, I don't have the stress on me, I'm just there for the fun of it, so, you know, it's a little bit different perspective on it, but I was absolutely overjoyed to see how full it was and how many people were coming through and how many people were so happy that it was just that it existed at all. I was a red shirt, so I was walking around asking questions, keeping doing line control, you know, running errands, picking stuff up and dropping it off, that, you know, that kind of role. But everybody I talked to, from the celebrities to the volunteers to the vendors to the exhibitioners, the cosplayers, and the guests, everybody thought it was awesome.
It was
absolutely top notch, and the only complaint was there was no place to park because too many people wanted to come.
Because of the growing pains, yeah.
But that even that parking situation could not have, that really couldn't have been predicted because that parking lot is so big.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, at a glance, you're just like, no problem. We will never fill half of that thing. And we
overfill. It fills up, right.
So, but it was an amazing show. And I was only there for 2 days. And I know by middle of day two, you were just buzzing around, running on adrenaline.
But it
really was spectacular. So I just wanted to...
What was awesome is, you know, everybody was complimentary of everybody. So, you know, people were complimentary of our staff, the volunteers, attendees, the guests, just everybody, just it was crazy. It was just everybody just enjoyed being there together. It was an awesome weekend. And like me and Heather Montezaro talked for a while, and she started tearing up and shit because I was explaining to her, you know, one of the things that we try to do is be a safe space for people, because, you know, we have a lot of people that suffer from anxiety and different things, and we want to be a place. And I mean, most of the people that attend our events and do the stuff were the outcast when we were growing up, and we try to give everybody a safe space where they can go and be comfortable being whoever they want to be. And that's kind of what we've become, which is pretty cool. Everybody can just enjoy yourselves, just have fun with it.
Because it was the quote from The Burbs, is like, you know, the freaks and weirdos and all, like that's who we are. That's what, you know, between, obviously, the actors have all been in all these crazy horror movies, and the directors and all the people that are making them for the festival itself. I mean, like you said, we're the outcasts. We are the weirdos, you know?
Right.
And it is, again, very uplifting and happy that there is a community. Because, like we spoke a couple weeks ago, it's like, oh, you know, going from small town to new town, I didn't know anybody, and I really couldn't speak their language. And, you know, I think though, but how many people have come from other countries and couldn't speak a language? How many people have come from, you know, entire opposite parts, or not even opposite, but just like different parts of the world where the cultures are so different that you just never know. And then you find somebody that's your friend, and it's just like, ah, it feels so good.
Yeah.
And this event is such that what I've always loved, it always seemed to me with so many other genres, including the comic book group that I am a part of and I love, that there's so many damn gatekeepers.
Yeah.
There's so many people that will try to pull some punk rock shit
and be like, you
like, oh, you didn't know about such and such band, then you must not be cool. Whereas the thing that's always been attractive to the horror genre fandom is, what do you mean you haven't seen, you know, the most ridiculous title, Part 7? It's the best of the series. Here's my my copy of the tape. Let's watch it together. It's not tearing you down, and it's not making you feel bad for not being in the room that
it's
day.
Introducing
it's like,
you to stuff.
It's like, dude, you haven't seen it? Oh my God, let me share this with you. Right. Let me build you up. Let me bring you in. And, you know, even the other night, Saturday night during the show, went outside, did something, came back around and changed, and came back, and I was, you know, it was like right before I was going into the Rose Room, there's all these people kind of standing at the table, and I think LaForge was out there smoking or something. I was like, hey, man. He's like, hey, man. And then the guy's like, hey, dude. I was like, what? He's like, what's your top 5 Halloween films in order? And I was like, shit. You know, like, you know, obviously number 1 and number 2 and then top 3, but then just 3 better than 2. You know, like, I just had that, but then I got pulled into this conversation where we were talking about Jaws. We were talking about remakes versus originals, and sometimes, like, Evil Dead, it's good, and other times it's not, you know. Like, but there's, like, 7 people that was just in this group that I just got randomly pulled into, and I was like, this is the horror.
It's crazy, fandom. Man. Well, it's like my cousin that comes down from Louisiana every year. You know, he never would have thought that he would love the events the way he does. He told me, he said, is their getaway to just not have to worry about anything, and they know that if they come to our events, people are just going to be welcoming and just love having them around and talk to them. And you know, it's awesome to see, man. It is really, really awesome to see.
It is very cool.
And the Saturday Night Party was pretty crazy. Sherry Curry, of course.
I left right after that, man. Yeah. I would have been on my feet all day. I know you'd been on your feet double as long, but I've been on my feet all day. She came out, she sang, and I was like, holy shit.
She was cool. She did an incredible panel. I was very impressed by her panel and stuff. She did a really, really good job. She had a lot of fun, so.
That's awesome. She did the karaoke Runaways, but, I mean, her voice is still...
Right.
She was right on, and it was a good time.
And, of course, Felissa had a great time being the MC of the night. Melissa always has fun. So. And, but yeah, all in all, the show went really, really well. Flowed really well. You know, did grow year over year. We did grow some more, but we still got through some of those growing pains. And everything went fucking awesome.
That's... I can't wait. So, in the middle of the show... at the end of the show, but I mean, you guys just announced Tyler Mane today.
Yeah, for the Halloween event we have coming up. So Tyler Mane is going to be coming, which he's always awesome. We met Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first event that we did. He always an awesome guest. We still got about four more to announce, so that's all in the works right now.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah, Halloween, you got to have Michael Myers, so.
Yeah.
Figured it'd be fitting to have Tyler come back down. And he's a super nice guy, too, so.
He really is. I need to start, I don't know, man. We had the cast of Halloween the other day. Like, I don't have anything. I've gotten to the point, and you other collectors out there may agree or disagree, but I can't just, like, buy an 8x10 at a table. Like, if I'm gonna bring something there, like.
Some special sign.
Yeah. I have to have something. And I had two, actually. I had two original VHS of Halloween at different times. I'm sure my original one was probably a super collector's item. But I don't really ever do that. I don't sit there and be like, okay, what's my best condition comic book for an artist? Like,
right.
When Chris Claremont, who wrote the X-Men forever... came to Comicpalooza, I went through all of my books that he had written, and I was like, okay, here's some really nice, good stuff I could have signed and graded and so on, but I was like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not going to sell any of this. My favorite story that he ever wrote was Inferno. And so I pulled all of my X-Men comics from the Inferno series, and I dropped them on the table, and he signed them all like $5 a piece or something, but then... we got to sit there and talk, because he's like, this was one of my favorite series to write.
Right.
He's like, and the you know, it's like, there was actually a panel between this one and this one. Like, people get into it. Like, the story of Inferno is demons take over the world, and the X-Men defeat the demons, right? But as the demons are taking over the world, there's all kinds of mayhem going on. And one of the mayhems, a demon takes over an elevator. So people walk into an elevator, and the doors close. And then between floors, the demon eats the people, and then whenever it gets to ground floor, the elevator opens, and there's nothing but gore falls out.
Right.
He said that one of the three panels got cut by the censors. He's like, you can guess which one. But basically, it was like elevator, people get in, chomp, chomp, and then cut scene. You know, like you could just figure out, but he said he wrote it and they drew it and it was on the panel and they cut the panel and fixed it to where it fit in the book. I was like, dude, this is priceless. Absolutely, like, you can't put that into a slab.
No.
You can't.
No, there's the experience.
So know. Those are the sorts of things. Going back to Horror Film Festival, because I absolutely had to mention this because it was my highlight of my entire weekend.
Well, those stores are always awesome.
So I was doing line control for Billy Zane, and he was late. He was late coming down. This was Friday afternoon, and the event opened at 5, and one of the guys came up to me and said, hey, Billy Zane's running a little bit late. Just hold the line on this side of things, and he'll be down in a few minutes. I'm like, okay, cool. This woman walks up to me. And she's got a Heart of the Sea necklace replica on. And she's like, where's Billy Zane going to be? I was like, hold on one second. I heard he was running late. I think his booth's right here. But, you know, let me find out. So I went over and I found somebody. I think it was, I don't know, it might have been you. I'm like, hey, what's up? They're like, yeah, he's running late. He'll be down in a second. Okay. Go tell her. She goes getting back to the line. She wandered around and shopped some vendors for a couple minutes. And then, like, kind of did this. And kinda, Billy came down. He got into his line. Started signing autographs. And she came up. And she's like, oh. I was like, yep, stand right here. Dude, the heart bubbles in the air at that moment were just It was amazing, and she was so happy. So happy, and she was in a short line for somebody that she was absolutely just over the moon to meet. Right. And so she got over there, and she got to talk, and he's talking to her, and signed her, you know, but then they started talking a little bit more, and then it was picture time, and he, like, took the time to make sure that the picture was right. Like, and I was like, and she was just, like, so happy. I was like, dude, this is not even horror. This is, I mean, it's certainly got a higher body count than a lot of horror movies, for sure. But you know, it was a love story. But dude, she was so happy.
Yeah, it was. I was just like, this is so cool.
This is so cool.
Well, when Billy was leaving, me and Melissa were outside having a cigarette, and Billy comes around the corner. It's him and Lisa and Dominic, his agent. And he sees me, and he goes, "Hey, Scott, thanks for everything. I'll see you." And then, so I had tried to get Melissa to meet everybody, but she's very shy. Mm-hmm. She didn't want to meet anybody. She was like, "No, I'm cool." Well, I'm telling Billy bye, and he looks at her, and they make eye contact, and she just went nuts. She's like, "Oh my god, I just made eye contact with Billy Zane. I don't know what to do right now." But he was a super nice guy, man. Billy was pretty cool. He definitely had a good time and everything. Yeah.
He had a huge line.
Yeah.
And everybody that met him, you've mentioned different celebrities that actually take the time to talk and discuss, and he was one of them. Like he would very much hold the line, just talk to somebody for a few minutes about whatever, and then he'd make sure the light was good, and make sure that, you know.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that lady was the total highlight of my entire weekend, because I was like, dude, I've never seen somebody so happy to meet somebody. She was about meeting him, and so you know.
What was cool is, you know, we had some great guests at this show. Didn't get any complaints about anybody, and you know, one of my favorites, Ken Foray, was there, of course, and he was kind of like a last minute addition. But he and I were talking, and I got to his table. We had been talking all weekend, and I got to his table, and I said, "Okay, what you got from Knight Riders?" Because Knight Riders is just an off-the-wall fucking movie. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm talking to him about it, and I told him, I said, "You know, one of the weirdest things about Knight Riders is, for those that don't know, Knight Riders is about a group of traveling LARPers that do jousting on motorcycles, starring Ed Harris and Tom Savini. It's a weird fucking movie. And of course, Ken Foray's in it. And the weirdest part of that movie, I was telling Quick Ken, was the fucking 15-minute cameo of Stephen King. It's a cameo of Stephen King as a spectator in the crowd that is just obnoxious as fuck. But it's Stephen King for like 15 minutes. He's complaining about shit. And Ken told me, he was like, you know, when they were filming that, they were all at the Ramada Inn staying, you know, during filming. And he said one night they were just all hanging out, and Stephen King and some other guy are talking about a concept he's working on. And he said, Stephen King starts going into this fucking story about this horror movie he wants to make about a turtle that kills people or some stupid shit. It was like, and he said the whole time he's thinking, it's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of in my life, but it's Stephen King. I can't say that it's fucking stupid because it's Stephen King. And so I said, dude, cocaine was like really, really fucking hot.
Trucks would just kill people. Yeah, I have trucks.
But yeah, Ken Foray, everybody was outstanding. William Forsythe was great. Evan Montezaro was amazing. I mean, everybody was so cool. You know, of course, my first crush, Adrienne Barbeau, was there, and she was sweet to everybody. Tom Atkins was like hanging out with your grandpa, which was fucking awesome. I got to spend a bunch of time with Tom, and it was just so nice.
Tom Atkins was hilarious.
He was fucking awesome.
Like, I didn't really get to meet him in a like introduce you sort of way, but I did meet him. Like, I walked by, I was like, "Hey, everything cool?" And he was like, "Oh, you know, it's great." And I was like, "Oh man, it's Tom. He's just might as well be shooting zombies over my shoulder because he's so cool." Well, yeah, we've been here for a while, so let's talk about going into the future, because we've accomplished a lot, and then we had a little hiatus, and now we're back, but we're also in the back of this weird heat wave, and, you know, I think horror is about to take another turn, I think a lot of people leaned off of horror because the last couple of years with the whole COVID thing, people were like, oh, shit. Like, it's hard to write a story that's scarier than daily life. So, I don't know. Like, I think, and I'm going to put this vote up for, you know, the Facebook page and Instagram stuff. But we haven't done a Fresh Eyes in a while.
Yeah.
Like, and that was a fun thing to do, whether we were podcasting or not. That was always fun to be like, okay, your assignment is...
Rewatch this as though you've never seen it
before. To watch this as if you've never seen it before, and then have some of those details leap out at you that you're like, holy crap, I was looking over here. I should have been looking over there. You know, like... but what are some things that you would like to explore on the show?
Oh, shit.
Do we want to go, like, more back into more myths and legends? And you know, like, because like I said, it's not that we're not doing stuff. It's just, like, real life has been really scary lately, so...
I think maybe we should revisit some serial killer stuff again, which we haven't done in a while.
They just caught that guy up north.
Yeah, and it just there's been just so many that that have, like, become popular with Netflix. Mm-hmm. Doing documentaries and stuff like that. It's definitely one thing, just some true crime stuff that I definitely think we should revisit from our early days, which we haven't done in a while.
I agree. Well, I mean, we've done animals. We've done animals a lot because they've been topical. But I always think that there is certainly a primal fear of just... So... I don't know, it's kind of like almost a thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you guys like that we do? What do we talk about that is intriguing and inspiring? What is the stuff you talk about? You're like, oh, they're talking about that again. You know, like, I don't know. I think that it comes with every show. That's why TV has to remain so diverse. And I think TV has gone in the direction that while they needed to remain interesting for at least 30 minutes to keep the commercials watched, Then it became 20 minutes and 18 minutes and then 2 and 3 and then the internet came around and now we're down to TikToks where nobody can pay attention for more than 10 seconds. And we're pretty much, we aim for at least maybe an hour long show.
Yeah.
Our commercials are fake. I mean, they're real commercials. They're just not relevant anymore. If you're listening to us on Spotify, those are not in our control. Like, that just pops up and... Sometimes I have a commercial pop up in the middle of a commercial, and I'm like, oh, that's an interesting concept. But yeah, what are the sorts of things that you want us to talk about?
You want us to talk about Universal Monsters, want us to go delve into... We've done episodes where we've delved into vampires and just the history behind them. We've delved into Frankenstein and just the whole idea of the influence that Universal Monsters have had on movies. Do you want us to talk about modern horror? You know, where do you want us to go
from Human here? Centipede Part 6. It was the best of the series.
Do you want us to talk about ridiculous franchises that don't seem to fucking go away? I was looking at, Walmart's doing their annual October, you know, movie release thing.
Yeah.
And there's a six-disc set from the Hellraiser franchise. I'm like, where the fuck did six movies come from? Which ones did I miss? I know there's the horrible one with Lance Hendrickson that was, I thought that was four. And I'm like, where did the other two come from?
I don't know.
And then that's what I realized is the great value Hellraiser. Then there's, of course, the one that Paul did, which was pretty good. So I'm thinking that, like,
they just had them six.
So yeah, they just got all those. But I want to go and pick some of those up, and that might be a good idea to get some ideas for a Fresh Eyes. Is just some of the new releases that they've got out right now.
I think that would be fun.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So like I said, I'm going to put a poll up, and hopefully more than four people answer. But you know, if four people answer, then that'll give us a top down. It won't be a top five. It'll be a top four.
But give us a quorum, and we're done.
there we are. But hey, man. Thanks for showing up this week. Sorry we didn't show up last week.
It's been busy. Dude, so it is busy and hot. So
yeah. So, but we're here for you, baby. We're gonna make it happen. So it's been great talking to you today. We'll see you next week and keep it scary.
Later.